And you know that Dr. Bawumia had been to launch what he calls the Tap and Go. And he said the latest version of Tap and Go, developed locally by talented young Ghanaians, marks a notable advancement from the one which was only for the Ayalolo buses and had very limited features. So he concedes that there was something. Soon, we are looking forward to bringing on board the GPRTU Trotro services, which will be integrated seamlessly. The debate is now on about whether or not Bawumia is talking about something that's already in existence and claiming that he, the digitalization man, is the one introducing this in the country. Right. You say we need to watch this closely and suggest that the vice president or the government is not being candid with us. What's the point here?
So, first of all, we have to put it on record that we appreciate the fact that senior politicians in Ghana are pro-digital. It's not all African countries where you have senior politicians who understand them, the benefits that technology could bring to the country. That notwithstanding, we have a problem with the design of some of these initiatives, and I'll explain. Recently, a number of institutions, the CDB, ASEP, MANI, the World Bank, etc., came together to look into an emerging phenomenon that, to our mind, compromise some of the good outcomes that all of us anticipate from technology, digitalization, etc. I call it state enchantment. And Tap and Go is a very good example, unfortunately, of the fears that we have around the state enchantment phenomenon. And by state enchantment, we mean situations where private companies, private benefits, private gain is dressed up as if they are public, and then because of that fact, these private gains are procured with public costs or with public investments, and the justification is that they are going to lead to national transformation. Let me explain further. When Tap and Go was presented to the country, it was said to be a GPRTU initiative. By the government, because we all know, even though GPRTU is an association of private transport operators, they have a special handshake with the government due to the bargaining relationship they have.
Guys, it's not good. The sound.
I'm sorry. Is the sound better?
Sorry. Yeah, the sound. You sound a little better now. So go on.
Oh, okay. So what I said is that when Tap and Go was first presented to the country, it was presented as a GPRTU initiative, which is receiving support from the government, and in respect of which the government is particularly involved. So can you still hear me, Samson?
A lot better now.
Okay. And what has happened is that because GPRTU, even though it's an association of private organizations, has a strategic understanding with the government in setting prices for public transport, this was seen as a public transport initiative, if you recall. So a way that it was presented was that the public transport of Ghana, the one that most people benefit from, the Trotros, the Metro Mass Transit in its various incarnations, STC and the rest of it, are all going to be transformed using a platform that was primarily a public initiative. Then we discover eventually that the GPRTU actually have no stake in the project. They are not strategic partners in that sense. They don't own anything in the Transport for Ghana consortium that has been set up to run this. And even worse, the industrial relations manager then comes out and says that they were not consulted in the design of the program. Mm. So that made us very, you know, interested, because obviously we've had issues around trying to get information on this Transport for Ghana consortium, this Tap and Go, who is behind it, you know, why were they, you know, selected, etc. So, you know, the usual thing that happens in this country when projects of this nature comes up. And we discovered, quite by amazement, that this was an entirely private initiative. You know, it's a group of companies that have come together. You know, they have different solutions that were already existing, and they've banded it together and rebranded it and presented. Our problem is that it was not presented as somebody's private initiative, somebody private company putting out a solution out there, and then the government may be saying that we support all kind of private initiative. This has been presented as a national transformation project based on which important concessions have been made, and I'll explain them in a moment. On top of that, one of the companies that is very active, there are two main companies in there, out of about three companies that are critical to getting this to run. One of those companies has already been cited in procurement issues in Ghana because of Agenda 111. You know, iRisk has become the target of members of the minority in parliament who've gone to court claiming that sole sourcing of transactions in Agenda 111 to iRisk constituted a breach of procurement rules. And that matter is still under investigation by the civil society movement. We've not seen serious responses by government why this company was selected, why is it that matter, this was sole sourced. And then we find them again in this transaction, again with no explanation as to how they emerged, as to why these particular companies are being favored. And then you ask me and say, okay, what is the problem? Maybe a group of companies have come together to create something and the government is pushing it. Isn't that what we are talking about in terms of private sector enablement and things like that? I think our concern is that there has to be a double playing field if you want to do promotion of private enterprise in this country. You can't have a situation where you create something that, because of its nature, is giving privileged access to things that are very important. Like, for instance, if you put your mobile phone number into the app, it automatically pulls up your Ghana card information. That means that it has very special access to Ghana card information. And these are protected databases and the rest of it. On what basis was this company granted this level of privileged access? Why? It may be that everything is completely innocuous, but the government has to be far more transparent in its disclosures about these projects and why private companies benefit than it's been.
Okay.
If Ghana, for instance, has no government backing, for instance, some of the access that it has will not be the way that it is. So, for instance, you think of the Ayalolo buses, where they are now the authorized application. Ayalolo and these kinds of entities are government entities. Where was there a procurement process that allowed this company to be the authorized provider of the IT platform? Or is it because they have special relationship with powerful entities, powerful individuals in the government, who are giving all of this support? Then we find out later on, security researchers find out, when they scrutinize the application, that there were major security breaches. And the question is that, will the institutions in this country tasked with regulation, your Data Protection Commission and the rest of it, will they have the independence to be able to provide the necessary regulation, given that it's a group of private companies, when the government have presented it as a national program? And that is why we continually advise that when things are private, there are a group of companies, they've set it up, they are making profits, we should be careful in how we use state power to drive out their competitors. We just learned that the GPRT actually has its own digital platform called Oya, which they are also promoting. So if now another group of private companies want to introduce something like that to benefit the rest of us and the rest, and they don't want to compete in the open market because for some reason we think there's something special about them, then we should be transparent, we should publish the details, we should say why the government wants to use public power and public money potentially to back such initiatives and the rest. Okay. Otherwise, we risk a very serious situation where people use private business as cover for enriching themselves, but then with state power to enforce against competitors and things like that. So those are our concerns, and we hope that the government spokesman in the studio will address them systematically.
Thank you very much. We hope the situation improves, but the mechanism, as you speak about it, has become very normal in this country. All you need is to have access to somebody in the corridors of power, and then you get, you know, elevated. Your businesses get all they need to be able to progress. Now, what do you know? What do you know, Sami Jamfi? In 2015, that's when President Mahama launched this one. Mm-hmm. Has it been functional? So that if a new one is introduced, why should we have, you know, an issue with it?
Okay. How much time do I have?
You have 2 minutes.
Oh, can you give me 2 minutes?
You have two, I know what you want to do. Go to this issue. 2 minutes.
Let me use 1 minute of that to clarify certain things. Because you see, I'm here as communications officer of my party. And when false statements are made about the party, I need to set the record straight. Richard said that we initially supported the JAPA framework and only kicked against it because we were asking what was the money going to be used for.
Framework, the laws.
True.
The laws that were passed.
It is not true because we kicked against EJAPA and boycotted the approval process on grounds of corruption and substantial conflict of interest. The evidence is here. Anybody can Google. Minority to report EJAPA deal to London Stock Exchange, September 1, 2020. The minority in parliament intends to
report. I think the reference was with the laws. The laws,
said,
the myth
we
laws and amendments.
We only kicked against it because we asked where, why, okay. What was the money going
to use?
Please, don't do that. I said they kicked against it when the agreements came to parliament, they walked out.
Yes.
They had approved the SPV, and when the final stage of that approval is the agreement.
Okay.
And that was when they walked out.
Right.
So if you had approved the SPV...
And I'll plead that you guys allow us to respect our viewers.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the issue that we have begun.
I've been very charitable. I've allowed him to
begin. You have not done anything. Just
so let me go on. You said on record that we only kicked against it because we asked at the 11th hour what the money was going to
when do. When the agreement came to parliament.
I am exposing that falsehood. Because this publication shows clearly the honorable minority leader at the time, Honorable Harun Edusu, at a press conference saying, quote, we will, after today's press conference, put the London Stock Exchange and the Financial Conduct Authority on notice that this agreement does not meet the required due diligence and transparency, and a substantial level of conflict of interest runs through the structuring of the agreement. He went on to say that the agreement was tainted with some corrupt acts. These are quotations. Number two, I said that I did not have confidence in Martin Amidu, specifically in relation to allegations he had made against John Mahama, which he was given an opportunity before the Appointments Committee of Parliament, and he recanted. He couldn't prove. In this case, I'm relying on the factual evidentiary findings of a state agency, the Office of Special Prosecutor, which you have not been able to dispute. So get the difference. And finally, I want you to understand that the issues we are talking about and the findings of the Corruption Risk Assessment Report of the Office of Special Prosecutor are not mere conjecture or suspicions. These are findings about statutory breaches of the Public Procurement Law, Public Financial Management Act, and the 1992 Constitution. If you don't have an appreciation of these issues,
what was introduced by John Mahama was working, there will not be a need for.
There are only three issues I will say about this. Number one, anything that seeks to introduce cashless payments into our lives as a people is good. But you see, those in charge of running the affairs of this country, particularly Alhaji Bawumia, must know that governance is like a relay. Governance is a continuum. And so when you come into office, acknowledge the contributions of your predecessors and you will save yourself a lot of embarrassment. This whole controversy has come about because of this false impression which was created by our friends in the MPP that this tap-and-go system Bawumia has introduced is a novelty. It is not a novelty because in 2015, we launched the Metro Card system for the Metro Mass buses, and people could pay for their transport fares on Metro Mass on a contactless or with a contactless cashless card, the same tap-and-go system. Again, on the 25th of November 2016, we launched the Ayalulu buses, which also had a similar contactless cashless payment system, which allowed, you know, passengers to seamlessly pay for their transport fares. You show it to the POS machine, you enter. When you get to your destination, you show it to the machine again, it calculates the fare, it deducts it. This is not a novelty. And so if you came into office and met this system, which you abandoned. When this government took office, the Metro Card system was already running and the Ayalulu system was already running It was later when they failed to pay the workers of the Ayalulu, you know, transport system, and they started agitating that they abandoned the buses for so many years. They left it to rot, only to spend huge taxpayers' money on refurbishing them, you know, not too long ago for the All African Games, which is coming up in a few months. So it is not new, it existed. If you've come to build on ad or add some features, say so that the technology existed, technology is progressive. So we have tried to do something new, right. And this is it. Number two, Samson. The point is, this system they have introduced has been put out there on the basis of lies. The vice president told us that this is something that has been created by talented Ghanaians. That has turned out to be a total lie, as he is known for. Because if you follow the IP address, which I have here, for this particular system, it will take you to a system hosted in China. So it is not a system which was developed in Ghana. The key issue here are issues of privacy and data protection. Because as you have seen on Twitter, there is our IT director, Yaira Kuku, has entered the system. One Edward Ejay, an IT person, has also entered the system. And they've been able to assess the data, which is supposed to be protected by law, of many users of this application. So why lie that this is a system you created in Ghana when it is an off-the-shelf software that anybody can buy, hosted in China? Finally, in 1 minute, Alhaji Bawumia must understand that digitalization is not the main reason why he is there as chairman of the economic management team and vice president.
Okay, we'll move on here.
No, let me just conclude, Samson. And that these applications are only a means to an end. The bottom line is whether you have a contactless card, tap and go, you still need money to put on the card, to load on the card before you can access those public transport systems. And so the most important thing he is supposed to do is to fix the broken economy, solve the problem of high unemployment, solve the problem of the economic mess that he has created, because that is what he is there for as chairman of the economic management.
The question being asked is that if it ain't broken, you don't fix it.
Yes.
But if, like Sammy says, you left these buses to rot and so on, and the system that is integral to it, and then you are bringing something else which is new. What's the point of it? We remember how the Ayalulu buses started. There were air conditions, and then people were happy. Yeah. People could plug, charge their phones. Yeah. They were very happy. Now they talk about how heated it is.
Yeah. They enjoy it. We're operating it from Amasaman to Sekou.
So, please,
it's working. Even when they took office.
Power in this country is not going to change hands. And I appeal to Ghanaians, they shouldn't ever dreamt of making power change hands in this country.
Well, you have told us that Bawumia will cross.
Sorry.
Stop.
Please don't interject.
Because you allowed him to intervene when I was talking. And I allowed him.
Please.
Why is it that they cannot be accommodated?
Please don't interject. Let's hear.
Just like we accommodated.
Yes, Richard, let's hear.
You didn't protect me like this.
Don't interject, please.
My good brother, you didn't protect me like this when you took about 1 minute of my time.
Look, that's not fair. Clearly, my appeal, humble appeal to Ghanaians is that please, power will not change hand, and don't make it change hand. Because the NDC, we know who they are. They have never solved any problem in this country.
Okay. Really?
And particularly, I'm talking on at the ground level.
Wait till you see the prosecution of those who have printed this $12 million.
No problem. The point I am making to you is that you made the clarification when you read. There's appreciation that something was done. But that thing, what was done, needs improvement, given the times that we're in. And what improvement that has been made is expansive that would allow businesses to benefit. I can tell you something, that by virtue of this tap and go, which is inclusive, not only is limited to Ayalulu, would give rise to private businesses in transport to profit and to make more money. Because now, your driver cannot come and tell you, oh, today we didn't make enough sales. Today, the car broke and so we didn't go anywhere. Because in real time, you can see the transactions going on. So if today you have some money you want to invest, transportation is a good sector to invest in. All you have to do is to sign on if you're a taxi, if you are Uber, if you are Trotro, you can sign on to this.
Abbas Moro is the industrial relations officer of the GPRTU. He says tap and go can never work in Trotro. It is not going to be workable because of the system Trotros are operating. Mm. It can be used in taxis and long distance vehicles, but not Trotro. George Krobia Asante, public relations officer of the Metro Mass Transport. The concerns raised by the GPRTU, quote, the concerns raised by the GPRTU, they have not even tested how the system is. It is just you having the system in your car. They tap on the system, then the transport fare will be deducted.
Yes. So you see, again, the impossibility mindset. And then for here, the vindication of Dr. Bawumia, I'll come to that. So I mean, made some very frivolous accusations, and I'll come to that. You see, the impossibility mindset of the NDC. That is what has
brought these are not NDC.
Oh, please, Sammy, players.
Why do you Sammy, always please. Dodge questions?
This is what
and you
does.
Do your own thing.
Anytime I go to your program, he's disruptive as if he's saying something. You will just be lying. And these are the same thing you've been saying since you became lying?
These people are Sammy, not NDC.
Just be quiet.
People.
Just be quiet.
Okay.
Everything.
So yes.
Don't direct anything to him.
Okay, please but go ahead. Trotro people and taxi people are lying.
Right.
Are they NDC people?
Everything Sammy is.
What has the NDC got to do with this?
He will say tomorrow. We say till the election. It's what he's been saying since he became a communication officer of the NDC. Just reinvigorate.
So to the point.
No, I'm not agitated.
People. That's all saying. I said. Okay, and they are not NDC people.
Sammy, just be quiet.
Sammy, thank you.
This is disrespectful.
Yes, go ahead.
When you
okay, completely. I didn't interject you. Please, just be quiet. Just be quiet. The point I am making.
Much, to be fair.
I am just saying that this, call it novelty, not novelty, we're solving a problem. There's a problem out there that needs to be solved. And the people who are raising questions about it, I'm saying that they should have a chance to experience it. Mm. You can blame anything if you haven't experienced it. And that is the mindset of the NDC. Look, let me tell you, characteristic of the NDC is to put a limitation on what we can achieve as a people. So this whole Ejapa conversation that Sammy is running around trying to defend and create the impression something untoward is done. And I am happy that we're having this conversation on your platform because very level-minded people listen to your program and they can read through the politics and propaganda. It is never true. It's never true that Ejapa was going to shortchange Ghana. Ah. It is rather going to give us the opportunity to make to generate revenue, and that is the point we have established on this program.
You did it. He's cleverly brought it in, and you want to run away.
Yes,
from
of course,
it.
That's what he did. And then you see, and the point I want to make to you,
has been
from the day. Oh, please.
That is okay.
The from the first day, February 8th, after Dr. Bawumia gave his policy address. The NDC have come up with a strategy to attack, to insult, to abuse.
Away from
so anytime Dr. Bawumia talks about anything, they say, oh, look, on the last page of our green book, we have something about e-government. Okay. So that must be.
Right.
Anytime he talks about tap and go, oh, look, we've come up with analog one
facts.
Transport application, and so therefore, this is not new. The NDC doesn't understand. And Sammy, unfortunately, doesn't also understand.
What is your counter?
He came. But of course, I'm just told.
We don't understand. What is the counter?
Well, because you don't understand. The point
you I'm trying understand. To you, educators.
But I've just said it.
Right. You don't understand.
Thank you.
You don't understand.
Let me make the point. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And you have
thank
you.
Let's not go back to Ejapa. And please, don't continue. Thank you very much. You're still here on News File. This is your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on News File, as always, we put Ghana first.